Far from Pasuk Shuv, Yivarechu Pasuk Ches, Perik Yud, Pasuk Ches. We're in the middle of discussing this Pasuk. Chayfer Gumatz Bo Yipol, Uparitz Goder, Yishchenu Nochash. We discuss this in the parish of the Tzudos and the Rashi. If a person, he digs a pit, he will fall into the pit. The person will be trapped into his own evil.
Yeah, no, it's
you're not... Oh, it's not on? Maybe this turned off. Wait there, is there now? How about now? No? How about now? Any difference? Maybe you turn up the volume so the battery is good, Okay, let's try. We have to figure it out. Okay, Chayfer Gumatz Bo Yipol, that's better, right? Chayfer Gumatz Bo Yipol, the person digs a pit. He will, and the purpose of digging a pit is to trap someone in the pit. Ultimately, he will fall into his own trap. Before it's called, their person who cuts down the fence, who knocks down bridges or a wall, Yishcher Nochash will be bitten by a snake. So the snake is living in the wall. The snake, and the reason why the person he knocked down the wall is because he wants to release. He wants to release all the poisonous snakes that are living in the wall, in the crevices. Cracks and crevices, he wants to release them, they should poison, they should bite on the people. He's an evil person. He's trying to bring harm upon society. Ultimately, he'll be the one that will be bitten by the snakes that he releases by demolishing this wall. We discussed yesterday this pasuk is the makor for the concept of takonas chazal. A person that breaches the takonas chazal will be bitten by a snake. I think there's one place where actually it says some very severe. Standing during the Hurachum, Monday, Thursday, we say Hurachum. It's a very long tefillah, we know. And it says in Shulchan Aruch, you're supposed to stand. And if you don't stand, it says in the Ramah, I believe, you'll be bitten by a snake. I always think about that. Instead of thinking about the parish of Milos, unfortunately, I think about the consequences of not standing.
Yeah, well, I would move. That'll keep you on your toes.
Keep you on your toes. Okay, but this is the makar we discussed yesterday. The reason why a snake is the snake is the punishment for a person who breaches the takonos of Chazal is because the first one to do so was the Nochash. The first one to create a takono was Chava. Chava told the Nochash, and not only are we not allowed to eat from the Eitz Hadas, we may not touch the Eitz Hadas. And in one respect, this is controversial, but in one respect, this was a noble idea to erect a safeguard. Not only may we not eat the Eitz Hadas, we may not touch the Eitz Hadas. The only chait was she did not present it as being a takona. You have to know that there are things that are ikorim, and then there are different concepts, different laws, which are only takonas chazal. She presented it to the Nochash and to Adam as being equal, to the Nochash as being equal, which was a very great mistake. They're not equal. But it was a takona that she created, the first one to make a takona, and the Nochash was the first one to breach that takona, to say, touching is nothing, and by entering into the realm of showing that takona is something which you can violate and you can get away with. So that is a Pesach to come and violate the Ikarim as well. We discussed yesterday, this unfortunately has been proven in history, where people who try to delegitimize Yadus, the first thing they start with, the way they gain entry is by making breaches in the Takonas Chazal. We gave examples yesterday of the conservative movement. The first thing they did in order to break down the barriers is they did away with the Yukum Purkan. The Yukum Purkan on Shabbos and things like that, that was a Pesach to come in to do worse things. But let's see the tag. We're up to the tag. Pasuk Ches. Anos midas din dino v'chein amaras. The midas hadin speaks up and says the following. So the one that is speaking this pasuk is the midas hadin. This is a very unusual hakdama to a pasuk from the Targum. He makes it very clear that the speaker is not Shlomo. Normally he says Omar Shlomo Malka Neviya. But I saw through Ruach HaKodesh. Just now over here, that's a whole different style. The one that speaks is midas hadin v'chein amaras inun. You you, the sinners, have caused all of this evil that has come upon the world. What do we mean? Inun you giramul lahon kolda, hechma, just like the gvar dechore shucha deforashas orcha, a person who digs a pit. Here the Targum elaborates, where does he dig the pit? At the crossroads, in the public thoroughfare, ba is chayav lenipal. It is only right that he should fall. He should fall into the pit. If he is the one that digs the pit, he himself should fall into that pit. The ummah. Now here is where he elaborates. Here is the part that we're going to elaborate. The ummah, a nation, the avaras al gezeras memra de Hashem, who violates the laws of Hashem, uferakun niro demori ummah, and breaches the wall of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so he's not talking about takonas chazal, like we discussed yesterday. He's talking about the actual laws, the actual barriers that Hashem has erected for this world, the mitzvahs Hashem has established. So what will happen to him? Nifalu biyad malka rashia, he will fall in the hands of the evil king, the goyim,
empire.
V'nocheis lahon, the evil empire will bite this individual, kichivio, like a snake. Okay, so it's a very interesting interpretation. Yeah? Wrong. It's wrong. So here he's alluding over here to, he's alluding here, the Goder means the laws of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gezeros of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Taryag Mitzvos. He will be bitten by the snake. The snake here is a metaphor for Rome. Rome, yeah? No, if the Jew, the Midas didn't speak to Klal Yisrael will violate the Taryag Mitzvos, they will be subjugated under the authority of the Roman government. That's called a snake. Very interesting. And the beginning of the pasuk, he didn't really elaborate, he just said that if a person digs a pit in the Rishus HaRabim. Now, why Dafka in the Rishus HaRabim? I do not know, but that's how we interpret, so it's only fitting that he should fall into that pit. He should listen. Does not really. I'm sure there's much more deeper information, but he does not elaborate. Okay. Okay. There's an idea I wanted to present.
Because it's not just dangerous to him; it's doing it for the public. He's causing danger. So when you put it together, you're endangering other people who might follow you and believe what you say. So you're causing. It's a public menace.
Public.
Same way a public menace is Rishus HaRabim. When you say something you shouldn't say, you're endangering the Rabim, because if people follow you, you're in the same, you're bringing them down with you in the same vein.
People will learn, be influenced by your conduct, your evil conduct. Okay, there's an elaboration here in the Selassie Melidus from the Sefer HaChasidim. Okay, I'm assuming this is from
Yehuda
HaChassid, and he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Geder, the Peretz Geder that we're referring to here are the eyes, the ears, and the mouth. Both of these things HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given Gedorim, have created naturally in the body fences to prevent these things from causing harm. The eyes, if a person sees something that he knows he should not be seeing, so Hashem gave him eyelids. Hashem gave him the option to close his eyes and not see what is forbidden. If he hears something that is not proper, so Chazal, this is the Gemara, you have two things you can do. Either you can stick in the earlobe. The earlobe, the Gemara says, that's the only reason why it was created. Is there a scientific reason why it's created? Do we know why?
Well, if you haven't attached the earlobe, it won't work.
It won't work. But is there a purpose scientifically? Why a function that the earlobe serves? The whole earrings?
Yeah.
This week's parsha, the Nizamim? I'm sure they can figure out a way to put it. It's not the ideal. There must be a reason. The appendix,
now they know its function.
They do know, so.
That's what they
thought.
It's a what? Say.
The vestige means
it
would. No, you
know,
the scientists, millions of years ago,
there
was some purpose for it.
But now it's not. You know. So the earlobe also.
That's
what function?
On the bus of your safety,
I was Neha.
Take it
and put it into your earlobe. And then there's another Gemara.
Yeah.
That was the most havamina. The Gemara had a havamina. What does it mean? Okay, whatever it is, the Gemara says that a person hears something that he should not be hearing. Yet, so either we can take his pinky. The Gemara says, why are our fingers the way they are? So why are they? One of the reasons that the pinky, you put the pinky in your ear, and you can prevent sound from entering or your earlobe. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us a fence in order to prevent harm from entering our neshama through the ears. And what about the peh? The peh, it's not going in, it's going out, or it's going in. So do not speak there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you a double fence. A fence of etzem, the teeth, and of basar. These are two fences that should prevent your tongue from exiting and speaking Lashon Hara. So here the pasuk says, that's when the Targum Medrash, this Medrash, particular Medrash says, "Upoyrets Goder Yishchel Nachash." The Geder person that breaches the Goder, the fence of the eyes, the fence of the ears, the fence of the tongue, of the mouth, he has breached the fence. He is deserving. He is deserving that he should be bitten by a snake, by a snake.
Which means bit the Shemai.
I don't mean whatever it means to suffer. Whatever it means, yeah, that's what Rashi really said. And that's what he said. It means to be Shemayim. Okay, but it's an idea. Just an idea. Okay. Okay, let's now go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Tes. Masia avonim yotzei bohem b'hikia etzem yisochem. A person that quarries stones. The word masia literally means to carry. But we're going to see, according to most of the commentators, it means something more. It means to quarry. It means to actually cut the stones out of the mountain. That is the really hard work. Yotzei bohem. Yotzei literally means to be saddened. But here it means weakened. A person... we'll quote the pasuk in a moment, but it means to be tired, to be weakened and tired through the hard work. Okay, it's a person who cuts wood. Yisachin bam, person who cuts wood will become poor. It also means tired. He'll be heated up. He. Give me one moment. Let's see the mitzvos. I forgot. One moment. Yisach and Bob, the Mitsudos translates the word Yisach Meloshon Sakono. Sakono, he will be endangered. By cutting wood puts a person in a situation of danger. Now let's see more elaboration in Mitsudos Pasuk Tes. Masi Avonim, Ho'iker Avonim, a person is Oiker Avonim, to quarry stones, Umasiom, and to transport them. Mimikoimom, to a new location, Hashlicham b'chutzos. Now here's a very novel idea of interpretation. Why is he doing this? Why are you taking boulders and stones from their source? And what are you doing with them? I'm using them to serve as a stumbling block for other people. We're dealing here with a person that is sick in the head. Right? An evil mind, a cruel person. Good morning. Who's cutting out stones from mountains and transporting them into the public thoroughfare in order that people should fall down and stumble. An evil man. So it says here, what will be the punishment? Azai, Hamasi, Atzmi, Yosef, Ayodin, the person himself. This is a parallel to what it said in Pasuk Ches, of Chet, Kumat, Spog, Yipol, the one that bits people fall into the pit. Kihu, Atzmo, Yuchshal, Bohem, ultimately he will stumble upon these stones. Next, Bakir Eitzim, Lapil, Habi, Kabi, Kiois, Albene, Adam, Lahar. Now a person, he cuts what he chops in order to kill people. He chops down a tree knowing that on the other side of the tree is going to fall upon the person and kill the person. I'm dealing with your point of comparison with Mitzudos. An evil man, Azai, Habakea, Bo, Al Yodam, Lide, Sakono. The bokeah, the one that's cutting the tree, will fall on him. The one that's cutting will come with a sakonki. All of you, Paul, will fall upon him. The chavod of the palm and rabbis, uchederech hanikra, v'loimash v'cholpam kentu. So we have over here multiple examples. At least pasuk sofa, pasuk kesa, pasuk tesa, saying the exact same thing. At least according to the parish of the mitzudos. So that is a chiddush, because normally when you read this pasuk, if not for seeing this mitzudos, you would assume it just means generally a person just bemoaning life, that a lot of people, they work very hard. They work very hard. You have a parnasa of quarrying stones from the mountain. What do you get out of it? You get nothing but sadness. Okay, Eitzim, a person who cut to his parnasa, to cut down Eitzim, he puts his life in danger. And for what? How much money does he already make? Is it really worth it? The danger, it's one of the most dangerous professions. I had a conversation with someone who came to cut down last year. We had a tree, a branch, and I called in a guy to come down and cut down the branch, and I was having a conversation with him, so he told me, and I marveled at his worker was like a monkey. He was able to climb all the way up in seconds. So he says, yeah, this guy who works, he competes professionally. They have competitions with these guys, and they go out and they loggers, and this guy is one of a kind. And so then he says to me, but it's very dangerous. He says, in the United States, he started quoting all the statistics. It's the most dangerous profession. For most people, for most professional loggers from this profession, they Google this, it's true, die on the job. They get killed on the job because of the danger of climbing to these heights and all these very heavy logs of wood falling here and there. It's dangerous. So it's very fascinating if that is a correct, is that true? That is the most dangerous profession in the United States today. To be a logger, it takes on whole new meaning. But care aids in
we saw what? Probably can't get insurance.
I'm sure they get insurance. Just high insurance. High insurance. But it's interesting, then it really takes on, after hearing that from him, you read this pasuk, it has a whole new meaning. Why from all the various professions did Rashi have to select Bukia Eitzim? Every profession is dangerous. But driving a car is not dangerous. Being a computer programmer, when I was in college doing programming, they told us that the highest rate of suicide. So they told us, yeah, they always say this, the highest rate of suicide is from computer programmers. Yeah, that's what, I don't know if it's true today anymore, but it's a certain degree of burnout. Wow. Burnout and frustration.
Dentist?
No, did you ever hear such a thing?
No, I understand.
Never heard that.
And the reason was nobody liked to go. And they would come across to the dentist themselves. Because nobody wants to go to the dentist.
So it's, it rubs off. It rubs off on the dentist. It's very interesting. What did your brother-in-law say about that?
He left.
His brother was a dentist. That's very interesting. Okay. And this is what they told us. Suicide. But if it's true that in dying, machmas melacha, actually in the job itself, and the trees fall down, it definitely has a whole new flavor to this pasuk. Let's see Rashi. Rashi is very different than the Mitzudos. Rashi says, "Me'si avonim yotzamuchem, me'si avonim mimach tzivosam behorim misyagi elohem." So Rashi has a whole new interpretation. Rashi is not discussing an evil genius. We're not discussing a person that's picking up stones and putting them in the street in order that someone should fall and get hurt. We're dealing over here with a profession of actually quarrying stones from the mountain. The Mitzvot did not say that. Essentially, he alludes to it. He says, "Oikem mukaymon." Oikem mukaymon does not necessarily mean to quarry stones. It can just mean you pick up a big stone, you go on the side of the road, you have a big stone, pick it up, and you bring it to a new location. Here he says you actually quarry the stone from the mountain. Mimaktze vosom behorim, the mountains misyagiel blohem. You become extremely weak. It's very hard. I always marvel when you go and you drive up to the country, you drive to Boston, and you see the road, you see these massive mountains, and it's clear that they dynamited these roads right through these hills and mountains. It's amazing how much work and effort must have gone in to build these roads. And that's today with technology, dynamite. You can imagine years ago, a few hundred years ago, they didn't have this technology. How in the world did they, the amount of labor that was invested to do something like this is just mind-boggling. And that's what it says. The person becomes weak. Yigia. The otse sadness. Sadness is synonymous with yigi, with hard work. It says that with sadness you will eat your bread. What do you mean with sadness? It means kiloimar. It's not to be taken literally. It's a borrowed expression. Call Adam lefi malachtoi etz vunu. Every person etz bono. Each person according to his labor is his sadness.
Occupational.
it's tiresome. Af oisera lefi ziri also yitzar. So here Rashi concludes. Rashi, these words of Rashi is really an independent statement. He's summarizing these psukim similar to the mitzudos. It's like really a new idea. A person according to his evil, af oisera. That doesn't really say that in the beginning of the pasuk. Rashi is giving interpretation. Now that we know what it means, Masiyah Vadim Yatsi Yatsi Bohem, he says, I'm assuming now that he's come to say the same idea as the Mitzudos. We're dealing with an evil person. He is working hard. He's working hard to do evil in this world. Lefi Zirios, according to his seeding, Yiktsar, he will reap the benefits himself. He will, the eggs will return. That is an expression.
Come back to roost.
The eggs. Coming home to roost. Whatever the expression is.
This last phrase of Rashi.
Yeah.
As you sow, show self.
Shall you harvest? You shall reap. As you sow, in other words, according to the investment that you do to bring harm to the world, you yourself will suffer the consequences. It will come back to haunt you. So a person that's Masiyah Avonim, he also is a mashal. It's a mashal. It's not literally like the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos says you're actually moving stones into the street and you're going to fall on those stones. It doesn't say that. It's a mashal. A person who quarries stones is tired. It's a very tiresome profession. Likewise, a person that plans and plots evil will suffer the consequences. Will suffer for his yigia, equal to his. To his effort in causing other people harm, and that's what he will suffer. Now, next words, Yisachin Bam. Yisachin, he's translating the word not like the Mitzudos, danger, but rather heat. It's this week's Haftorah. David HaMelech was Zokein, and the clothing did not provide for him warmth, so they brought for him a woman. They searched for Naira Yofa throughout the entire land. Avishag Hashunamis. That was her name?
Yeah.
Avishag Hashunamis. To be a Soichenes. What is a Soichenes? A person that provides warmth. Warmth. So it says here, Yisachin Bar. That's not what the Mitzudos said. Mitzudos says it means Sakona. They were not trying to put David in Sakona, obviously. They were trying to give David body heat. Yischanim Bar. He's quoting the pasuk here, David, the six of Torah. So he over here, look what he does over here. The Mitzudah Rashi over here is going way off path from the Mitzudos, way off what he said in the pasuk. This is something positive. A person who cuts, who person who's boike eitz, what is the eitz? Eitz obviously refers to eitz chayim hi l'machazikim bo. A person who cuts down the tree, you don't mean to cut it down in a negative way, but it means a person is he involves himself with the Torah, the eitz chayim hi, he will derive benefit, he will derive warmth from the Torah that he occupies and connects himself to. Okay, so this is Rashi, and this is all both very different. Now we go to the Targum. The Targum really goes way off.
Ibn Ezra said the word Yisachin comes from Sakana.
Like what? Yeah. That's what the Mitzudah says. That's exactly what the Mitzudah says. That exactly. Rashi is saying it means warmth, and Rashi therefore is forced to interpret this in a positive sense. That if you occupy yourself with Torah and Mitzvos, then you'll have warmth. You'll have the fuel. You cut down a piece of wood, you'll be able to put it in the fireplace, and you will be warm. The tree obviously is a symbol for Torah. It's chayim lelachazikim bo. You will have warmth. Let's see the Targum pasuk. Test is a very different interpretation.
Yeah.
Very way out stuff. Omar Shlomo Malka. So I guess he's saying Shlomo to the French from Pasuk Ches where he said Omar Midas Adin. Now we're not referring to the Midas Adin, referring to Shlomo Malka's observation. Shlomo Malka Nivio Galei Kidomai. It was revealed to me my great grandson. Who's my great grandson? Menashe Bar Yechizkiah. Menashe, the son of Chizkiah HaMelech. Asid Limchov, he will bring Churbin, Ulimiskar Litzalmo de Avnin. So here the Avonim, The masia means he's going to move. Moving means he's going to elevate to a state of greatness. He's going to worship stone. Avod Zara is either Eitzim Vavonim. He will bring Chorbin to do bad things and to bow down Litzalmo de Avnin to an idol made from stone. The Ginkain, and because of this, you know what's going to happen? There's going to be Yeotzeh, the consequences. The Ginkain, Yis Misar Biad Malko. He, this refers to Psukim in Psukim that are in Sefer Melachim, he will be delivered to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar will take hold of him. Begin Cain. Yes, Messar Biad Malko. I'm sorry. Was it Nebuchadnezzar or was it Ashur? I thought it was Nebuchadnezzar, right? Nebuchadnezzar?
No.
Sancheriv?
Sancheriv,
yeah. Melech Ashur. Okay, I'm sorry. Sancheriv, Melech Ashur. Wasn't that much later. Okay, Begin Cain. Yes, Messar Biad. Not yet at this point when he never succeeded. He tried. Begin Cain Yis Masar Biad Malko the Ator, he will be given over to the king of Melech Ashur. Melech Ashur. The Yich Pesine Bizmamin, and he will be tied in chains. He was lowered into a dungeon and he almost died. The Yich Pesine Bizmamin. He will be tied in chains in a dungeon in the land of Ashur. Kapo is to be tied in chains. And until, now this was, he was a king for many, many years. I forgot that, what, 45 years? For 55 years. 55 years. So at a certain point in time, he was taken down. He did tshuva. The last couple of years of his life, he did tshuva, but it was too little, too late. He was unable to do the damage that he brought. And when did he do tshuva? When he was about to die. When he was being tortured. He was taken by Melech Ashur, and he was put in chains. He was lowered into a dungeon, and he cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed him to survive. Ad until the batel piskamei oiraisa, until it was bottled, the words, why did this happen to him? Why? Because he was responsible for the worship of Avodah Zarah and the bittul of the study of Torah. Al devatel, he was batel piskamei oiraisa, dechsivim deluchei avnin, that were written on the luchos of stone. Min de is yehivu be'aroina de kesei shitin. Okay, I'm moving what I have over here. That, I'm sorry, min, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I just skipped the line by mistake. Min ikareon, from their source. He wanted to mevatel the words of Torah that were written on the luchos of stones, min ikareon, from their source.
Meaning from the source?
Meaning to completely uproot them, they should not exist. Meikaram, meaning just to be completely, to be oikar from the sharashim, from the roots, the Torah from Klal Yisrael. So he's doing, so far the Targum here is doing two things. He's taking the word Masi Avonim and he's saying two very different ideas in the word Avonim. It's not, I don't know what it means. First he says that he worships stone. And number two, he was oiker, he was masia, he was oiker of the words of Torah from the luchos that were given on stone. So basically means he exchanged a stone for a stone. He exchanged the stone of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the luchos sabris, for a stone of an idol which he bowed down to and he worshipped. That's, I guess, all part of the word masia. He moved from one to the other. He exchanged one stone for another stone. Begin Cain, because of this, Yitzta'ar Behon, he will suffer, he will receive great suffering. Now what was the suffering? Well, he was tortured, and also Chazal said he was one of the kings that has no chilek in Olam Haba. He will suffer. Now here we go to something which is very complicated, because there are many midrashim, and this is part of a discussion of who was Rav Shake, how many Rav Shakes were there, and when did Rav Shake die? With conflicting Maimori Chazal. Rav Shake Achuhi was Menashe's brother. So he had, that means that Chizkiyah had two sons. He had two sons. He had Rav Shake and he had Menashe. Rav Shake Achuhi Astid L'Miskad L'Tzalmo D'Kesim. He will bow down to an idol of wood. Notice that Menashe is bowing down to an idol of stone, and his brother Rav Shake, he is the Bokea Eitzim. Rav Shake, his brother, is cutting down wood and bowing down to the wood. ulemishpach piskomei oraisa, and he is abandoning the words of Torah, the is yehivu be'arwoina, the kesei shitin of wood of shitin, atzei shitin. So look how beautiful this medrash is. Two brothers are exchanging the Torah that was given on stone and put in a box of wood for bowing down to stone and worshipping wood. But Menashe focused on the stone and the luchos, and his brother Rav Shaki focused on the housing, on the aron, which was made from wood. Means wood, it means tree, eats. Case means thorns. Atzei shitim. Atzei shitim oimdim. Eight so even. Begin Cain. Now because of this, asidli tokoda binura. Because of this, both Rav Shaki and Menashe will be burnt in the fires of Gehenna. Ali day malacha da Hashem will be burnt in the fires of the Malachi Hashem. Now the problem with this is we have a midrash, a very popular midrash that says the Rav Shaki, when they were very little, Yecheskel was taking both of them, was traveling with both of them on his shoulders, and Yecheskel was bald. So they said one to the other, they said, look how nice our father's head is. I guess he didn't wear a yarmulke in those days. They didn't wear a yarmulke. We can fry an egg on his head. Let's crack an egg and fry it on his head. Let me read you the exact words. Okay, a yom echad, one day. Rachiv, this is the medrash she can't forget, because you know, this is from.
But it's Gemara and Bracha. Yeah,
it's yes. A Gemara and Sanhedrin.
Oh, right.
Sanhedrin Sadi Hey. Let me read the words. Rav Shake Hoy Ochiv Shomanasha, Lawyer Shelch. Okay. Now, okay, so it says over here is that one day we were traveling. Menashe Hoya Yomachad Rav Kinu, it's Gemara Mesach Sanhedrin of Tzadihei, Rav Kinu Akaspidi were on his shoulders. V'chavtinu Ba'aron, he doesn't have the whole story here, but basically they wanted to fry an egg on his head. So Yechizki was very upset, so he threw them down to the ground. He threw them both off his shoulders. Menashe Hoya, Menashe lived, Rav Shake Mace, and he died. So the problem here is asking, everyone says that if he died, how then did he get to a point later on where he bowed down, he cut down wood and worshipped wood. So it's not really clear. Now, by the way, there's another Rav Shake who came to torment Klal Yisrael at the time when Sancheriv came to destroy to conquer Yerushalayim. He sent his agent Rav Shake, and Rav Shake, he spoke in Lashon Yehudis. He spoke in Hebrew, and everyone can hear the blasphemy of Rav Shake, the messenger of Sancheriv. And they begged him, please don't speak in Ivris, speak in another language, because we don't want to frighten the Hamoin An. So what is he doing there? Didn't he die long ago? And was this Rav Shake the brother of Menashe? Doesn't seem so. So in Echonam, there was more than one Rav Shake. Obviously, there were multiple Rav Shakes. That's what it seems. It was a popular name. I don't know exactly. But somehow, just throwing this out, because we can't really ignore These ideas. Okay, so this is the interpretation of the Medrash. Masi Avonim is a reference to Menashe. Yeotzev Bohem, he will burn. Yeotzev, he will have tsar. The punishment of Menashe will be Yeotzev, and the punishment of Rav Shake, who worshipped Eitzim, will be heat, Gehenim. Sochin, according to the Targum, he's following the approach of Rashi. He's Sochin, his Lashon Sechenes, his heat. He will burn in Gehenim, and Menashe will suffer Yeotzev, sadness. Okay, Menashe appears to be on a high madrega. Menashe is the one that is actually destroying the Luchos, whereas Rav Shake is destroying the Oroin. It's a very interesting idea, because we don't focus on a person's apikoyres, that he denies, he destroys the Oroin. An apikoyres is someone that denies the kedusha of the Torah. you see here a new idea is that there are people who realize to attack this idea. It really continues the theme of the previous pasuk Ches of Chayv Gumot Spo Yipol, who parates Goder Yishchenu Nochash. The Guma is the actual damage. Right, the Guma is the actual, your person digs a pit, you're actually causing direct harm into the Rishus HaRabim. When you breach a wall, you're not causing direct harm, you're just taking away fences. I've not caused any harm, I've just breached, like we mentioned yesterday, the Gidarim, the Takonas of the Rabbanu, which serve as a protection in order not to come to a degree of harm. Likewise, in the next pasuk, there is a parallel. First, you have the Avon, at least according to the parish of the Targum. The Avonim is the actual Torah. That's equivalent to causing damage to affect, to touch upon the Ikar. And then when it says the Boitzea Eitzim, the Eitzim is the Oroin. The Oroin is not the Torah, but the Oroin represents the housing of the Torah. It represents the environment of the Torah. It represents the community, the support system of the Torah. So a person could say, I didn't do anything wrong. I just took away the Oroin. The Luchos are still there. The Luchos have, I didn't do anything. The answer is no. If you go and you break down the fences, right? This was the danger. We all know that when Klal Yisrael lived in a ghetto, we never entered the ghetto. We always in history were put in the ghetto. That was usually the Mitzvah. So we were forced by the Goyim. But when the walls of the ghetto came down, French Revolution, historically or any time, and we were allowed to live freely with the Umos HaOlam, so the facts are that's when assimilation shot went through the roof. It went, so you go, what's wrong? We just took down the Gedorim, we took down the fence. Well, when the fence comes down, then we are vulnerable. We are vulnerable to contamination, and it takes that much more courage and stamina to stand up against foreign influences. So even though you can claim there's many people, I'm going to show when the walls of the ghetto come down, it's a very great milo. Everyone is very happy. Freedom. It's true. But you have to now be careful for the dangers that there's nothing actually wrong at that moment in time. There's very great danger. So just the point I want to make over here is that over here we have two people. We have Menashe and Rav Shoke. Menashe, we focus to the Avonim, the Torah itself. Rav Shoke, we're focusing on the Oroin. The Oroin seemingly is not the Ikar. It's just the environment. It's the Goder. It's the fence. It's the fence of the Luchos. Therefore, Pasuk Tes is a direct parallel to Pasuk Ches. Because in Pasuk Ches, we start with the Gumots, the pit, which is actual damage to the Rishus HaRabim. And then with the second part of the Pasuk is the Goder is the fence. The fence is not the actual Rishus HaRabim. It's just the protection from criminals causing damage. So there is the Ikar, and then there is the protect defense. And these two psukim obviously follow in the same theme. Okay, now I know there was a var I wanted to tell you, but I don't remember. Let me just see if I can quickly recall. It was something important. No, I don't remember. Okay, maybe we'll come to you in a few moments. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud. New theme. In Keo Habarzel Hulo Fonim Kilkal Vacha Yolim Yigaber V'Yisroin Hachsher Chochma. I'm not going to even attempt to translate this because there are so many different interpretations of this pasuk. So let's right away jump into the Metzudos David. Okay, pasuk. Let's see how he interprets the pasuk. Pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud. In Keo Habarzel, if the barzel, the iron of the axe, is weak, has been dulled, the Mitsudo says, in Barzel Lahav, the Barzel is the Lahav Achedef, the blade of the sword, Nechar the Nechshach. It's Nechar, it's ugly, and it's dark. Now, what does that mean exactly? Ulu Tosefes Beyer, Omar Vuhu Loifonim Kilkal. So, according to the Mitsudo, this is his interpretation. The next words of the Pasuk, Ponim Kilkal, is an explanation of what it means, Keho HaBarzel. It is not an independent thought. It's an explanation. What does it mean that the barzel is weak? It means the ponim. The ponim means the tip, the front. The tip of the blade is kilkal, has been damaged. it's in a state of it's dull. That's what it means, Tzkeir HaBarzal. That's very bizarre, because why would the Pasuk have to explain to us Tzkeir HaBarzal? We could translate those two words on our own. Why would the Pasuk need to say that the translation of Tzkeir HaBarzal means the Ponyan Kilkal? But yet, that's how we learn Pshat in the Pasuk.
What does it mean, low, though? Low Ponyan?
Yeah, what is that? Yeah.
Vuhu. Oh, I didn't realize that. Tosefos ber amar v'chu loy fanim kilkal rotzolaymar shemaris ponav enoy lotush v'zochuch. So kilkal means shiny. Okay, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I thought kilkal means damage. Kilkal means to shine. The ponim, the blade, the tip of the blade is not kilkal. Kilkal. Look at the mitzudos. Tzion. He says inyan letisha v'zichuch. It means shining copper. Kilkal bachitzim, the arrows are sharpened. Kilkal to sharpen the arrows. It means letisha v'zichuch, to be sharpened and to be pure. It's a unique word. Okay, nechoshes kalal. That I think is a more popular expression. It's shiny copper. Copper, which is has a brilliance to it, a brilliance hue. So here we translate, what does it mean, the keha barzel? It means the ponim, the tip of the barzel, it's not kilkal, it's not shiny, it's not sharp, it's dull. So now what happens? Next words of the pasuk, it says v'chayolim yigaber im kol zeh. Even though your weapons are outdated and are dull, it doesn't matter. You achieve great success. Im kol zeh magbir hu bimulchama es anshe hachayil. You succeed. You gaber. You prevail over armies. Magbir hu bimulchama es anshe hachayil lenatzeach es hanilchan bohem. So we read the two words backwards. You are yigaber over upon the chayolim that are coming against you to attack. The Yisrael Hechsher Chachma. Now, what does that mean? Od Yoiser Kishon Yesh La Chachma. Okay, that is, but there's even more benefit to Chachma. Uchmo Shenemar Toiva Chachma Mikli Kirov. There's even greater benefit to Chachma. Chachma, you can succeed even without weapons whatsoever. So it would appear
with a dull sword.
Because you can. That's the mitzvah. Says sometimes you don't need the best weapon. So in other words, trying to show you in this pasuk is that what?
You can't kill anyone with a dull weapon.
No, he's saying you can. You can. It's just you can kill someone with dull weapons. A weapon that's outdated is still a weapon.
And yesterday that.
Okay. That was yesterday. Today is today. Okay, but the point over here is he's saying what the Mitzudos appears to be saying over here is there are three madregos. There are three madregos. There's a madrego of having weapons that are perfect. Mm-hmm. Then there's a madrego where the barzel is keyav uloifanim kal, and yet even though the weapons are not the best, vachayolim yigaber. There is such a reality in this world that people, the weaker opponent prevails. Even though he doesn't have the best pitcher, doesn't have the best offense, defense, whatever you want to call all the different terms, all the tools and things that you need to survive, there is such a thing of chayilim yigaber. And then he goes on to say, and then there's a third madrega. The third madrega is when you don't have weapons at all, nothing. You have no weapon whatsoever, and all you have with you is chokhmah, diplomacy. Diplomacy or chokhmah, whatever it is, and even with that you can survive. So this is the parish of the Mitzudos, three madregas. We start off with the unspoken part of the pasuk to succeed with nothing, with the best weapons. But then there's a second madrig of the imke habarzel who lo pfanim kilkal. Yet v'chayolim yigaber. There's a mitzvah you can prevail with weak weapons. You can overcome your enemies. And then you should be aware, no weapon whatsoever. The yisrael hachsher chokhma. No weapon with chokhma alone you can prevail. We all know. One of my favorite stories is the story from the maskilim. There was a ma'aseh shachar. I told this to you probably a few times. There was a ma'aseh shachar where the maskilim were putting on a play. What's going to be the achris? Rabbanan, and a student from the yeshiva in Baranovich escaped and was curious to go to the theater to observe the play. And at the play, the student was very disturbed. He came back and Mr. Baruch Ber saw him, and he saw that he was very upset. I think it was Baruch Ber. I'm not sure. Maybe it was Baranovich. I don't know. Okay, I'm missing. They say this about different people, different gedolim. And I think the way I heard it was, the story was that this person went to a Baruch Ber. Baruch Ber, he told him, I'm very, very upset. I went to this play that it was put about the masculine, and they were trying to depict what's going to be at the time of Ikvus of the Mashiach, of the Melchemes Gog Magog. And on the stage, they had on one side the tanks, and missiles, and weapons, the most sophisticated weapons of the Umos Olam. On the other side, they had a few old Jews bent over in shmatis, and here the tanks are rolling against the Klal Yisrael. And then they comes forward the Meshuach Melchama. He gets up. Who's the Meshuach Melchama? The Chofetz Chaim. Who built a house? Let him go home. So a couple of people leave. Who went and built the vineyard? Planted the vineyard. Go home. Who got married? Everyone on the stage walks off. All of the old Jews walk off. The only two Jews that are still left on the stage are the Chofetz Chaim and Rav Baruch Ber Leibowitz. That's the way I heard the story. And they're the only ones left to fight the Umos Olam Melchemes Gog Magog. So they pick up, one of them picks up a bow and arrow, and he says to Rav Baruch Ber, picks up the bow and arrow, and he says to Chofetz Chaim, you're a queen, you're mechubit with the first shot. With the first shot, you can go and shoot an old fashtunkin bow and arrow, probably they got from Lag BaOmer for one of the children, right? The plastic bow and arrow. Mechubit with the first shot, you're going to go and shoot this arrow against the sophisticated military of the Umos Olam Melchemes Gog Magog, with billions and trillions of dollars of satellites and weapons and who knows what. So the Chofetz Chaim says, no, it's true, I'm a Chokoyin, but you're a Baruch Ber, you're a big Rosh Hashiva. Kovar HaTorah, you're a Baruch Ber, you should be Mechubit with the first shot. And they argue back and forth. And everyone, all the maskilim in the audience, are laughing hysterically, making litzonis. They're making litzonis of what is going on. Of what was Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, maybe they were saying. Where was? They're making litzonis. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Rav Chaim with Rav Chofetz Chaim. Whatever it was. And they were making litzonis. They were making litzonis of Klal Yisrael. So this boy was very, very distraught. So he tells us that it's Rav Baruch Ber. And Baruch Ber also was very distraught. He started pacing back and forth. So let's say maybe Rav Chaim. And then after a few minutes, he says, "There's nothing to be upset about. This is taka. This is the way it's going to happen. This is the way the Melchemes Gog Magog is going to happen." And they win also.
He didn't tell you the end of the story, and they won.
But this is how it's. But it's what. This is how it's going to happen, and they're going to win. It's a beautiful story. I mean, there's an enormous amount of Musa Haskell in the story of and really just to tie it into this pasuk over here. There's a Muhammad when you have whoever has the shining toys wins, and then there's a Muhammad when the Keir HaBarazel. The old-fashioned, these are the tanks from the 60s. Right? You always hear about the weapons, the Humvees, they're driving in the army, they're still probably from the 50s or the 60s. Some of the Jeeps they have, they're still old-fashioned Jeeps. No, but it doesn't matter. There is Chayolim tanks and Jeeps, whatever it is, the Chayolim Yegaber, there are times, even when you don't have the most sophisticated weapons, still you can prevail over your enemy. But you should beware, there are times when you don't need weapons at all. You don't need weapons. All you need to succeed in life is v'yisrin hachsher, the benefit, the ultimate. Hachsher means kosher. Kosher means what is the ultimate benefit. Kosher here will translate loosely as benefit. The ultimate benefit to succeed is chokhma, and with chokhma you can prevail with nothing whatsoever. That is the perish of the mitzvah. Now let's see Rashi. Rashi says, "V'im kei habarzel, charboitz sudim cherev shekihu pihem vichi dudam." The tip of a sword, the blade of the sword, the barzel here is the blade of the sword. Charbo surim is a sword, surim means a rack, but here it means a strong sword whose blade has dulled. Shekiu pim v'chidudam v'chu lo yifonim kolkal ve'enum litushim umirutim. So he says the same exact thing as Loshon Heyos Lohem Borok. Borok is lightning, a shine. The word kilkal means to shine. Does not...
No,
there's a term. Charbosu means a sharp sword. Sharp swords.
The barzel is charbosu to rim, but the pasuk says keah.
It's dull. But what you're just saying is that we're dealing over here with a sword. A sword is something which is meant to be sharp. Sore normally has a connotation of something very sharp. It's meant to be sharp, but in this instance, loy ponim kilkal, its blade does not shine, meaning it's dull. And he says the same exactly as the mitzvah. It means kilkal means the enem letushim umurutim. They're not meludushim. Laman heyoslam barak. If it was sharpened, then it would have a shine to it. Afal pichein, saying so for the same thing as the mitzvah. Nevertheless, vachayolim yigaber magber. Yet, nevertheless, you beat all odds, you've overcome your enemy. But the Yisroin Hachsher, the ultimate thing that is kosher in this world, Chochma. Umalos Kishon Yesh Oila Chochma. Chochma is even greater than having weak and outdated weapons. Yoiser Min Habarzel. In Talmud Chochom, what is the case? So here he elaborates a little bit more. In Talmud Chochom, Mashchir Ponov Barov. In the Talmud Chochom, he blackens his face in hunger. In hunger. So he's here taking the word Mashchir. Okay, where does that read into? Let's just see. Hachsher is mashchir. He's substituting. What is he substituting? He's switching the words also. He's switching the shin. He's reversing the letters, the shin and the chaf, and he's exchanging the chaf for a ches. It's quite a bit of footwork there. Fancy footwork over here to make this drasha. Okay, it's not unprecedented to do such a drasha, but that's what he says. He darkens his face in hunger, meaning that he devotes himself entirely to the study of Torah, bara'av, in famine. The ato ro'eu, when you see him, miskon bein ho'ashirim harbe, miskon poor. Miskan means poor. Poor among the wealthy, harbe. Chayolim miskabrim. You don't realize, so here's where Rashi is elaborating. The reason why the army succeeds in battle is in his merit. So in Chayolim miskabrim al yodo, they succeed in battle. So it's similar. So it's not exactly what the Mitzvah said, because the Mitzvah is just saying that with Chochmah, diplomacy, sometimes you can prevail over. It doesn't say what the Chochmah is. Chochmah means diplomacy. You can prevail over the enemy, even if you don't. But here he's saying, what strategy? That's according to the Mitzvah. But Rashi is saying no. Chochmah here means Chochmah Satoya. It means devotion to Torah. And it doesn't mean there's no battle. The battle is ongoing. There is a battle. There are soldiers that are fighting, that are being Meister Nefesh. But they are living off the merits of the Talmidei Chachamim, who are completely devoted to Hashem. So this is a little, it's similar, but it's quite different. The last part of the pasuk indeed is quite different than the parish of the Mitzvos. And then he just has a grammatical note. Veltisma alvav vachayolim. He's asking, according to this interpretation, why does it say over here, vachayolim yigaber? It should say chayolim yigaber. What is the vav? The vav appears to be extra. Veltisma alvav vachayolim. He harbi vavim leflim kain beloshin ivris. Many times vavs are just superfluous. They're just an appendage. Kmo imu isa ganov. Visorutz imo.
He reads.
V'siretz imo. If you see a ganof and you quarrel with him, so the vav there also quaint rules of grammar can be omitted. Ozei v'zimras ka v'ayihi l'shua. We don't need the vav. Ozei zimras ka. The vav also is not necessary. V'ayihi l'shua v'harbi mifuroshim kaze. There are many such examples, so don't get excited about the word v'chayolim yigaber. The pasuk means exactly the same thing. Because this is Rashi's interpretation. Let's go quickly to the Targum. Targum is even more different. Targum, Pasik Yud. V'chad yichuvun amo beis yishol. If chas v'sholom, the Jewish people sin. So that's the first point of difference between Rashi and the other Perushim. We're dealing here in a time where Klal Yishol are not doing the Ritzon Yishol Mokon. And what do? They're sinning the Yisavdun. The Yisavdun Shemaya Takifin Kibarzalah. And because of their sins in Shemayim, the heavens are barzel. There is no rain. Barzel and Choshes, min alech, uchimecha, devecha, there's no rain. The Shemayim turns into barzel, the rain will not come down. Mil'achosa mitra, from preventing rain from descending, due to the sin of the Jewish people. V'yahu dora, and that generation that is now suffering a recession because the economy is not doing well, they do not pray to Hashem. And that generation, lo tzalo kodem Hashem, they refuse to pray to Hashem. Begin came because of that, iskalkal kol alma b'chafna, the entire world suffers hunger. So let's just take a look at this right away. Imkeah habarzel. So what is Imkeah? According to the parish is, the Jewish people are keha. The word keha is a description of the matzav of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is in a state of keha. They are doing bad things. They are yichuvun alma beis Yisrael. They're doing bad things. And then what happens? We have to go to the next word, habarzel. That brings about in heaven, that the heaven turns into iron. A shefa of bracha, of lotar, does not descend to this world. There is a recession, a depression. And what is the likely thing that we should do to respond to this situation? We should daven. But for loifonim, we refuse to pray. We refuse to turn our panim, our face, towards Hashem in prayer. So what then happens? Kilkal. Kilkal does not mean it shines like the Mitzudos in Rashi. Kilkal means there is a kilkal. There is a chorban that comes to the world. The whole world descends into a state of famine. Okay, then let's go further to the Targum. V'chad toivin. But when Klal Yisrael does tshuva, famine. Kafna is famine. The whole world suffers in famine. But v'chad toivin. But when they do tshuva, umiskanshin achlusin, and the assembly gets together, like lech kenoses kol hayehudim, umiskabrim al yitzrehoim, and they overcome their evil desire, umimanan barzileho. Now here the word barzileho means they appoint leaders. It's an unusual word. Barzileho, they appoint leaders to go out, manhigim, in order, lelivei rachamin kodem eloko shemaya, to do tshuva. Then Isbahon Rava al Moisar, then Hashem has goodwill. Hashem then has goodwill for his people, Ach Shorus. Due to the goodness, Hashem's goodwill arrives. Due to the goodness, the kashrus kochmashoin of their wisdom of doing tshuva and returning to Hashem. So this is the cycle of life. Person by Yishman, Yeshun, by Yivot, you reject and you forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, things begin to get worse, it stops raining, people ignore the signs, then it gets really, really bad to a point where you can't survive, and then you have no choice but to do tshuva. When you do tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds and things get better. Is behind Rav Hashem has with him will, goodwill. Al Mosar. For the benefit, Mosar is the word Yisron for the. I don't have a good translation. Mosar Achsharus Chochmason for their attempt to do good, to improve their ways with wisdom. Yisron, the Yisron Hachsher, the benefit of being good, the benefit Hakadosh Baruch Hu. V'chayolim yigaber means, well, let's read the pasuk. V'chayolim yigaber means is that the armies, the tzivos Hashem, Lubavitch. Right? The arm is the chayim, the chayim yigaber when Klal Yisrael, when they do tshuva, and they respond, they gather together, yigaber, they overcome, according to themselves, their yetzer hara. When everyone comes together and decides to come upon themselves to be tzaddik and overcome the yetzer hara, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, the Yisrael hachsher, and there is benefit of goodness, chokhmah, in response to the good decision man has made to do tshuva and return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a really, very wild targum. Okay, a lot of the targum that we've read, you know, you can pretty much read the targum into the pasuk. And this targum, he's adding so much into the pasuk, it's just a little bit bizarre. Keah is the dwarf. The Keah, the generation, has declined, habarzel, to the degree where Hashem has denied rain, the heaven is barzel, v'hu loifanim, and Klal Yisrael refuses to be mispalo to Hashem, kilkal, the result is a churban to the world. But then when they do tshuva, v'achayinim yigaber, when the Klal Yisrael turns into an army that silvers Hashem to overcome their yetzahara, then Hashem, we have to add some words into the pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu now responds, he brings blessing, the Yisroin, Hachsher, Hashem brings kosher, good things. There is benefit. The benefit of good things come to the world due to the chokhmah of returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so this is the Targum. So obviously everyone here is a little bit different. This pasuk is just one interesting drush I came across, a very nice idea to conclude with. A person, it is the nature, the mashal is as follows. Where did I see this? I have to do it from memory. If you go out into the forest and you attempt to cut down a tree, and you take an axe and you start chopping, it doesn't go. The tree is not giving in to the axe. What's the problem? There can be one of two problems. Either you're not hitting hard enough with the axe. If I would hit the tree, I would bang against the tree with more power, then I would succeed. Or no, the amount of effort I'm investing in hitting the tree with the axe is sufficient. It's just that the axe is dull. It's dull. So here we have a story in the Pasuk. In Keah Habar, so more often than not, the mitzvah says when you go to the forest and you start chopping down a tree and it doesn't go, you think the reason is because you're not banging hard enough. So you invest in more and more effort. And basically you're wasting your time. You're tiring yourself out for nothing, because the harder you hit the tree, it's not going to make a difference. You can bang as hard as you want. If the axe is not sharp, it's just not going to go. So what have you done? You've wasted your time. So before we deposit the concern, the marshal, sometimes a person in life, he sees that it's just not going. You're trying to make a parnasa, and I just can't make ends meet. I can't make a parnasa. So what do? Try harder. I try harder. Instead of working 8 hours a day, I'll work 16 hours a day. And then you realize after you spend a couple of years working 16 hours a day, you have not succeeded. You still can't make ends meet. So what was the problem? The problem was, the reason why you were not successful when you were working 8 hours a day was not because you were not working hard enough, it was because you did not have the right Yirat Shamayim. It's because if you would have recognized at that moment in time that Hakol Bidei Shamayim, you would not have a proper religious outlook on what you're doing, then you would have succeeded theoretically immediately at that point in time. Just like what?
Why can't you say you were in the wrong line of work?
Let's be very abstract. Let's just do a very general description. You're right, Inochinami. You have to establish. Today you really can't say this, obviously, because today, you're saying very good, but I'm just talking theoretically. There's a kernel of truth to this, a teeny, teeny little kernel of truth to this, is that when things do not go well, what should your response be? Should the response just try harder, 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 harder? Or a person should step back and think about what's really going on over here? What is the root cause of why I'm not successful? Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to me, I should make a cheshbon hanefesh and I should prove my ways. In Keah HaBarzel, if I'm chopping wood in the forest and the barzel is weak, v'hu loifanim kilkal, and he's not mispalel. And he's not mispalel, so we're borrowing from, we're calling from the Rambam. I might be saying is let's just try to run through it at least in one form. And it's just not going. The Barazel is weak. And let's learn something like the Mitzvahs and Rashi, and the blade is not sharp, and it's not going. I'm chopping with my axe in the forest, and the tree is not coming down. I'm not successful. Why is it not successful? It's telling us because the Barzel is dull. So what do I do? V'chayolim yigaber. Chayolim comes from the word chayol, strength. Yigaber means to increase. So I just have to hit the tree harder and harder. The tree is not coming down. The truth is, the reason why it's not coming down is because the blade is dull. But I'm a shaita. I don't want to look at the blade. I'm lazy. I think the reason why the tree is not coming down is because I'm not hitting the tree rifle. I'm not hitting it hard enough. So what do? V'chayolim yigaber. I add more energy to my effort, to my actions of hitting the tree. Yigaber means to increase. Chayolim is strength. I'm wasting my time. The Yisroin Hachsher, it would have been better. Kosher means it would have been the right thing to do a million times over, to have a small degree of chokhmah, of wisdom, to realize the reason why the tree is not coming down is because the blade is not sharp. So instead of banging harder and harder with the axe, instead of a chayolim yigaber, and wasting all of this effort to go and cut down the tree, and when the day is over, I can't even move myself because I'm so tired, the judge should have gone to Home Depot and buy a chainsaw. If you had a little chokhmah, Yisran Hachsher Chochmah, that would be the better thing to do. Buy some power tools. That's Chochmah, and that would save you all of your effort. It's the same thing. The Musar Haskel is the same thing when it comes to life. In life, sometimes things just are not going your way. So what do? Stark at the Torah. If it doesn't work, so we'll force it to get. We'll work even harder. We'll double our efforts. But that's, you don't realize you're wasting your time. Even if you're not wasting your time, there's a much better solution. It's to reassess. To reassess what is the shoyrish hadava, what's the root cause of why you're not successful. Is it because of a religious reason? Or maybe, as you said, Mr. Rapport, you're not in the right line of business. There's no success. So if the business is not, you always hear stories about, there's all these articles, these magazines, they always write about, and you're not successful. When is the time to call it quits? Or when is the time to go and to invest more effort into the business? How much so if you don't make a proper calculation, you'll make a bear. Stark in the Torah. More. But sometimes you have to realize the better thing to do is to have wisdom and to reassess, reevaluate what your approach is to life and what your approach is in this business, and that ultimately will be for you a much greater benefit. Okay, we will stop over here.